All right, we're going to get back to our series, Fantasy Fiction Reality. And last week was a really good service. Had a good time combining the two services and going back and eating that fine meal. And I want to thank again all those that stepped forward and served and helped out. But today we're going to get back to our series, and I want to begin, as I have through this series, with my Christian creed. If I tell people that their belief system is wrong according to the Bible, I am told that I'm not being a loving Christian. I'm intolerant, hateful, and judgmental. The Bible, though, tells me and instructs me as a pastor, I charge you, therefore, before God and Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing. And that's the key. There is a judgment coming. People must be warned. Verse 2, preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season. Convince them of the truth. Rebuke their false errors. Exhort them to follow Christ with all patience, long-suffering, and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itchy ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things. Endure affliction. Do the work of evangelists. Fulfill your ministry. God tells us to love everyone. Part of truly loving someone is sharing the truth of the only way to heaven, the gospel of Jesus Christ. That all are sinners in need of a Savior. That Jesus is the only way to the Father. I know it's not a popular message today. It wasn't a popular message in Jesus' day either. But that did not stop him from sharing it and ultimately dying for it. I might be called a hater, a judgmental Christian, a narrow-minded bigot, and many other names for sharing the truth in love. It is part of being a Christian. Jesus told his followers that the world would hate them for his namesake. I choose to carry that cross and honor the one who died for me. I choose to truly love everyone by making sure I share with them the truths of the Bible, for our Lord Jesus Christ and his gospel. And with that, let's move to our subject for today, which is Mormonism. Now today, in our pluralistic society, the Mormons, or also known as the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, are grouped as one of the many denominations of biblical Christianity. Mormons even refer to themselves as Christians. And they take exception to Mormonism being called a false religion or cult. But let me be clear. Mormons can be some of the most loving and kind people you'll ever meet. But they are not Christians. Mormonism is a false religion. They do not believe in the God of the Bible. They do not believe in Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, the Jesus Christ given to us in the Bible. Mormonism claims to be part of Christianity, yet denies many of the Christianity's core biblical truths. For example, Mormons reject the belief in the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They hold to an unbiblical view of the afterlife. I will get to that here in a little bit. They teach that Jesus is a created being. Not God, but a created being. That salvation is not by faith in Jesus Christ, but by faith plus works. And that the Book of Mormon is inspired scripture, not yet. Inspired scripture superior to that of the Bible. The Bible is not considered their sacred text, even though they might have it in their hand when they come and knock on your door. The teachings and the doctrines of the Mormon religion do not come from the Bible. We will show that today. But from the Book of Mormon. There you go. The Mormon religion was founded less than 200 years ago. It has not been around for thousands of years. Less than 200 years ago, by a man, one man named Joseph Smith, who called himself the prophet. He claimed to have received a personal visit from God the Father, not yet, and Jesus Christ. I think Gordon's ready to go home. Speed it up, man, speed it up. He received a personal visit from God the Father and Jesus Christ, who told him that all the churches and their creeds were an abomination. Joseph Smith then set out to restore true Christianity and claimed his church to be the only true church on earth that is still claimed to this day. The main problem with Mormonism is that it contradicts, modifies, and expands on the Bible. The Book of Mormon, which was translated by Joseph Smith, is claimed to be the most correct book on earth. It is claimed by the Mormons that a person can get closer to God by following the precepts of the Book of Mormon than any other book, to include the Bible. That is documented in the history of their church, section 4, paragraph 461. According to Joseph Smith, 3 years after his vision of God the Father and Jesus Christ, Joseph Smith alleged that an angel of light appeared to him and told him about some golden plates hidden in North America on which the Book of Mormon was written. Now, according to Smith, the angel was a guardian of the golden plates, which Latter-day Saints, the Mormons, believe was the source material for the Book of Mormon. These golden plates were buried in a hill near Smith's home in western New York State. The angel is thought by Mormons to be the same person as a Mormon prophet warrior named Mahoney, who was the last to write on the golden plates. The book states that Mahoney buried them before he died after a great battle in North America between two pre-Columbian civilizations. After he died, he became an angel who was tasked with guarding the golden plates and eventually directing Joseph Smith to their location in the 1820s. According to Joseph Smith, he returned the golden plates back to the angel after he had translated them and written the Book of Mormon. In the last count, 1838, the angel still had the plates in his possession, according to Joseph Smith. The angel of light that led Joseph Smith to these plates produced a book that taught completely opposite of what the Bible teaches. It presented a different Jesus than that is presented in the Book of Mormon or in the Bible. It presented a different gospel than that of the Bible. Exactly what the Apostle Paul warned Christians about in the book of Galatians. Galatians 1, verse 6. Now the Galatians had received the gospel, but now they were turning back to Judaism, to legalism. And Paul writes and says, I marvel at you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we, even if I, the Apostle Paul, or even if an angel from heaven were to come to you and preach any other gospel to you than that what we have preached to you by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Even if an angel. Now, several false religions and beliefs have been started by angels. The Bible calls them doctrines of demons. Mormonism is one. Islam also started with an angel. We'll get to that in a couple weeks. Our all-knowing Lord knew this would happen. He told us we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities of darkness. So he put this warning in the Bible. It would have been good for Joseph Smith to have known his Bible. I'm sure if he was going to church, his pastor was telling him to read the Bible. But again, 82% of Christians do not listen to that. Joseph Smith must have been one of them. So he was deceived. He should have known this verse by Paul. He should have also known 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves. You know, we get this picture of Satan, a little red guy with a pitchfork, horns. Satan is beautiful in his creation. God created him beautiful. He was the most beautiful thing God ever created. That's what got to Satan's pride. Where Satan said, you know, I should be worshipped. I should be like the Most High. So when he appears in his beauty, Joseph Smith was not ready and was deceived. Now going back to the Book of Mormon, aside from the many theological conflicts with the Bible, and I could go into many, take me all day, just looking at the Book of Mormon, there is no manuscript evidence. The golden plates, no one's ever seen them but Joseph Smith. There's no historical, no archaeological evidence of this pre-Columbian war, and there's nothing to support the story of Joseph Smith. As we saw with our study with the Bible, all the evidence, there's none of that for the Book of Mormon. Especially, there's no evidence of prophecy or fulfilled prophecy in the Book of Mormon or the supernatural elements that we saw in the Bible. And like I said, the golden plates have been lost less than 200 years ago. It's not that long. I mean, we still have evidence and archaeological findings from thousands of years ago that haven't been lost. But the gold plates have been lost. The writing of the Book of Mormon was shrouded in secrecy and false claims. According to Joseph Smith, the Bible was corrupted and insufficient. However, the Bible makes a completely different claim about itself and backs it up with overwhelming evidence, as we have already studied in this series. But the Bible, again, it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for proof, for correction. If Joseph Smith had known the word of God, he could have been corrected. He could have corrected the angel when the angel said, here, I got a new book for you. Another testament of Jesus Christ. Joseph Smith could have corrected him. For instructions in righteousness that the man, woman of God may be complete. If we are complete through the word of God, then the word of God is complete, which is perfect. The word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. How is it corrupted? The Old Testament also states that the word of God will be for every generation. Psalms 12. The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. You shall keep them, O Lord. You shall preserve them for this generation forever. According to Joseph Smith, this is inaccurate. The word of God was lost until 1830 when he revealed the Book of Mormon. Now, the Book of Mormon is not their only sacred writings. They actually have four sources. The Book of Mormon, which has already been stated, was translated by Smith, published in 1830, claimed to be the most accurate book on the planet. Two is the Doctrine and Covenants, containing a collection of modern revelations regarding the Church of Jesus Christ as it has been restored through the Mormons. Then the Pearl of Great Price is their third book, which is considered by Mormons to clarify doctrines and teachings that were lost from the Bible. And then it adds information to the Bible, especially about Earth's creation. And then finally, the Bible. But the Bible, as far as it is translated correctly, that's the quote. We believe in the Bible as far as it's translated correctly, the eighth article of the Mormon faith. What they're saying is, you can't trust it. And they don't really highlight what verses were not translated correctly and what were. So the feeling to a Mormon is, you can't really trust any of this. And that's why it's on the bottom of their list. Actually, it wasn't even on their list. I had to add that word Bible. Because when you punch in the books of Mormons, it's just the three they really use. They carry this for looks, but they don't use it. Not as much as they do the Book of Mormon and the Pearl of Great Price. Now let's take a look at some of their teachings. The first one: God has not always been the supreme being of the universe, but attained that status through righteous living, persistent effort. God is merely an exalted man, a human being who earned his position by good works. God is still, according to them, a man, flesh and bone. All good Mormon men can obtain this. They can become gods as well. According to Mormon theology, a Mormon man can become a god. He actually gets a planet in this universe to be the god of that planet. Like, the god here is an exalted man, and this is his planet, and we are his spiritual children, according to Mormon theology. Now, that is the ultimate goal of good Mormon men: their eternity being God. Now, women in the Mormon religion are not held in high esteem. Even though the families are tight and the families are good, polygamy is a teaching of the Mormon church, having multiple wives, not cherishing one and becoming one flesh with her, but having multiple ones. And good Mormon men are supposed to have multiple wives. And that polygamy goes into eternity. These men, good Mormon men who become gods, get to have multiple wives in eternity, producing spirit babies to inhabit people on their planet. So the men get to be God, have multiple wives producing spirit babies. So women, you get to become a semi-goddess married to a god, and you get to be eternally pregnant for eternity. How many of you want to go? Mormons say that's crazy because they don't use the words eternally pregnant, but they do say the women will produce spirit babies. And those spirit babies hang out until there's a physical body to come into on their planet. Oh. You get to become a god. I think I've heard that somewhere. Genesis chapter 3, serpent, Satan, came to Eve and says, you can be like God. Same old lie. And then just the blasphemy, calling God a man. The God of the Bible is not a man. Never was a man. God is spirit. The Bible tells us in Numbers, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. John 4, God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. God is not a mere man confined to a place of a mere man. He is God eternal. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created, in the beginning of time, space, and matter, God was already there, bringing it all into existence. He's eternal. 1 Timothy, now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise. To honor, be honor, and glory, just as Dan sang, forever and ever. God is eternal. He's not a man. They do not believe in the God of the Bible. They believe in the God described in the Book of Mormon. The next teaching. Mormon leaders have taught that Jesus' incarnation was the result of a physical relationship between God the Father and Mary. Remember, God the Father to them is a mere man, flesh and bones, exalted but still a man. And he had sexual relations with the Virgin Mary. That's another disgusting teaching to me. The Bible tells us this. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. A miracle of God. Not sexual relations between Mary and God the Father. Early Mormonism taught that Jesus Christ was the first spirit child born to God, the Heavenly Father, with one of his many wives, and Mary would be considered a wife now to God. Because the Bible says you join in sexual intercourse and become one, even with a harlot, in God's eyes you're one flesh. So if God the Father had sexual relations with Mary, then she would be classified as his wife. And the mother of the spirit child, Jesus Christ. Also, that lie also connects with Catholicism, doesn't it? Jesus, the mother of God. Mary, sorry. Thank you for correction. Jesus was the first spirit child. Instead of acknowledging Jesus as the one true God, they believe he became a God, lower G, just as they will one day become gods. According to Mormon doctrine, as the first of the spirit children of God, Jesus had preeminence over his spirit brother. Do you know who his spirit brother is? And this is where Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses connect. He's the brother. Satan is Jesus' brother. Today, Mormons deny these things, but they cannot deny it because it's in their teachings. It's documented. They overshadow it. But to this day, Mormons continue to teach that Jesus Christ is not God the Father, but a son of a God who is an exalted human man in flesh and bones who had a sexual relationship with Mary. That they still teach. Now, they won't tell you that when they come to your door, but that is what they teach. The next teaching. Mormons also believe that Jesus became a God, but not God himself. I've already stated that. But I wanted to show you from where they write that in their doctrines. Now let's look at what the Bible says about this. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. verse 14 of that chapter. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, the man Jesus Christ. It is essential to biblical Christianity and the gospel that Jesus is God in the flesh. Not only does the Bible state that and the prophesy of that, but Jesus himself confirmed it in many statements. It is essential to Christianity that Jesus be God. Only God is perfect and without sin. No mere man can ever claim that, to be without sin. Jesus was the perfect God-man, fully God, but fully man, but perfect without sin because he was God in human flesh. That's why he was the perfect sacrifice for humanity's sin. He was tempted in every way we have been tempted, but without sin. Only God could pull that off. Jesus would have to be God to be the perfect sacrifice. And that's exactly who Jesus is. He is God the Father. The Trinity challenges our finite minds, but that's how it is presented to us. Three distinct persons, but one God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Now the Mormons do not believe this. So they do not believe that Jesus of the Bible, according to the Mormons, his sacrifice wasn't sufficient. That we cannot be saved solely by his sacrifice. We must be saved by his sacrifice plus our good works. So Mormons teach saved by faith plus works. Let's go to the next teaching. The Mormons also teach that they can attain heaven through works. They claim faith in Christ. They also rely on following the commandments of the Mormon Church and practicing good works in order to achieve salvation. The multiple places where that is taught. The Bible is clear. Ephesians chapter 2. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. There is so much I could go into, but I wanted to highlight the main teachings about God and Jesus Christ in the gospel. They say they have another testament of Jesus Christ. It's not the Jesus Christ of the Bible. It's a created being who is the brother of Satan. It's not the Jesus Christ of the Bible. They've created their own Jesus. The God is not God eternal, God the Father, who's always been, who is not a man, but he's all-knowing, all-powerful, but he is spirit, and he is glorious. The Book of Mormon has a pathetic, small, insignificant, not the God of the Bible. Question. Sharing the truth with a Mormon, how do you do it? Because let me tell you something. Even though they believe in a different God and a different Jesus Christ, God loves them. Loves them just as much as he loves us. The key to reaching the heart of a Mormon is to understand that while they may appear very confident on the outside and bold in what they believe and motivated about what they believe, on the inside, there is great fear and doubt. Mormon families are good families. They're tight families, but there's a lot of pressure put on by the family and the church for Mormons to be good, to make sure they earn their salvation. Deep down inside most Mormons is a fear of not being good enough, not measuring up. The question in every Mormon's mind is, am I worthy enough? Because they remember they're saved by works, so have they done enough? They never know. They never have assurance, as the Bible told us in 1 John, that you can know you're saved. You don't have to have that burden on you of works and trying to earn God's favor, not knowing if you have his favor or not. That's why Jesus said, all who are heavy and heavy burden laden, come to me and I'll give you rest. We can rest in the grace of God. We can rest in his promise that all who come to him through Jesus Christ are saved, and he will never leave them nor forsake them. The Mormon doesn't have this inside. They never know if they're good enough, and that's why they continue to try to do the good. And the best thing to do when you are dealing with someone who is a Mormon is ask them if they know they're going to go to heaven. And they have multiple heavens, basically. I'm not going to go into it this morning, but ask them if they know if they're good enough. The best thing to do with a Mormon is to do everything you can to reinforce the doubt. They doubt if they're good enough. Good. They need to keep doubting. And then they need to come to the conclusion that no one is ever good enough. No one. Now here's what usually happens. Here's what usually happens when Mormons come to a door. There's always two of them, right? They come knock on the door. You open the door. And you see them, you know, they're there, and you know who they are. And what do most Christians say at this point? No, thank you, I'm a Christian, and close the door. God just brought two lost people to your door, Christian, and you close the door on them. I want you to think about that. Well, it's easier, Pastor. I don't know what to say to them. Well, I'm going to give you what you need to say to them, so you'll no longer have that excuse. And then my prayer is they're going to keep knocking. Every house they go, it's going to be somebody from First Baptist Church. They're going to hear this. Do not close the door on them. Yes, they want to talk about their false God. Fine. You know the real God. It's not going to hurt you. This is what you do. Because what they're doing is a good work. They have to do this. If they don't share their gospel, then they're not going to get to heaven. They're not going to be good enough. They're not really there for your soul. I'm sorry to say it. Their motives, it's not that clear. Their motive is to do their good so they can stand before God and say, at least I did this, God. Now I deserve to be in heaven. I deserve to be a God. That's why they're knocking on your door. That's why they're more motivated than Christians. You ever notice how the false religions seem to be more motivated about producing their stuff? You know, saved by grace is great. It's amazing. But it also makes us lazy. Makes us lazy. But when the two come, there's usually an older one, he's the elder, and then there's a younger one, he's in training. Okay? So when they come to the door and they say, hey, we're Mormons, or we're from the Church of Jesus Christ, Latter-day Saints, we'd like to share with you, you know, the good news. Look at them and go, how long do you need to share with me the good news? They'll usually say 15 to 20 minutes. I say, great. I would love for you to come in, be friendly, be kind. And you may have to turn off the game, but hey, who cares, right? Two souls are in front of you. I'll let you come in and share with me for 20 minutes. I want you guys to tell me it all, and I won't interrupt. If, then I can share with you what I believe. Will you do that? They'll say yes 9 out of 10 times because it's the good work they have to do. They have to share this so they can get a mark in their grade book. So they'll usually say, yes, we'll do that. They're honorable people. They're kind people. They're loving. So they'll come in. You sit down with them. Let them go. They're going to hand you little pamphlets. Take them. It's not going to hurt you. Let them do their thing. Be praying the whole time that they'll have ears to hear when it's your turn. And then when they get done, they'll try to excuse themselves. They will. You say, oh, wait a minute, you said I could share with you. They'll be, oh, that's right. They'll sit down. The older one is probably too indoctrinated. Probably too indoctrinated to hear the truth. It's the younger one you want to focus on. So you look at that younger one. I was going to look at Floyd, but Floyd Elizabeth's younger than you. So Floyd would be the elder. He's probably too indoctrinated. But the young one over here is just learning. So I'm going to focus on that one. And I'm going to start sharing these truths. First one. Isaiah 64, verse 6. But we all, like unclean things, and all our righteousness are like filthy rags. Doesn't matter how good of a person you are, what good you do in the name of God. Our best righteous act, and it may be truly good, but compared to the goodness of God, falls so short. It's like filthy rags. I need to tell that I don't believe we're saved or can be saved by good works because our best work is still filthy to the God of this universe. We're not saved by good works. And the more good works we do, just the more filthy rags we are. That no one is even going to be declared righteous by observing the law, by doing good. Romans 3:20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. And we've all sinned. We're all sinners. We've all broken God's law. And the Bible tells us that. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All sin. Adam and Eve fell short the moment they were disobedient, eating a piece of fruit. And there's not one, even in the Mormon faith, there's no one that's not a sinner. We've all lied, we've all stolen, we've all hated people, we've all disobeyed mom and dad, we've disrespected God, we have worshipped false things, we've coveted. We're all sinners, and that separates us from God. We fall short of God, His glory. There's nothing we can do about it. All the good we do to try to build us back up is nothing but filthy rags to God. If the Mormon will admit to these truths, he, she should be open for the good news of the true gospel of Jesus Christ. That real righteousness only comes at the cross, where God exchanged our sinfulness for the righteousness of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. And I would tell him, God is pleading that you hear me. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, not through your good works. For he made Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. No other righteousness can stand before God on judgment day. The Mormon righteousness will fall. The Islamic righteousness will fall. The Catholic, the legalistic Baptist will fall. The only thing that'll stand before God is the righteousness of Jesus Christ on a heart that repents before God. Once a Mormon, or anyone else that, you know, for that sake, admits these truths, he or she can be saved. All they need to do is now learn, say, repent from their sins, their false beliefs, and turn to Christ and be born again. Reinforce their doubt. You can't be good enough. Now, you may not save that Mormon, but that Mormon and even the elder Mormon are going to leave with the Word of God, which is alive and powerful. And when the Word of God is put out, it will not come back void. So they will leave with those seeds of the Word of God nagging on their heart. You're not good enough. You're not good enough. You're unworthy. And there's only one place to turn: Jesus Christ. Reinforce the doubt. Do not close the door on them. Do not close the door. It comes down to this, really. The Book of Mormon, 1830. Go ahead and go to the next slide. The Book of Mormon, 1830, written by one man, or the Bible, written by 40-plus men. Men who did not know each other, did not speak the same language, did not even live on the same continent or the same time period. Over 1,500 years, 40 writers, authored a book by God's Holy Spirit that fit beautifully and perfectly together. 66 books into one, with supernatural elements all through it, the fingerprints of God. Now, who are you going to trust more? 40 holy men of God moved by the Holy Spirit with supernatural elements putting it together and proving it true, or one man saying he saw God? And then his Book of Mormon. Go to the next slide. No manuscript evidence. The gold plates are gone. No historical evidence for the story. No scientific evidence whatsoever to support the teachings of the Book of Mormon. On the other hand, the Holy Bible, the Word of God, thousands of manuscript evidence. We went over this when we went through the Bible. Historical evidence, archaeological evidence, scientific evidence all through it. And the supernatural elements, the evidence of God's hand, fingerprints all over that book. Which one should you believe? I think it's pretty obvious. In conclusion, on Mormonism, it is fiction mixed with fantasy. It is a lie. Mormonism is a religion of self-work to earn a person heaven, and no one is saved by works. And although the Mormons are usually friendly, loving, and kind people, they are deceived by a false religion, by a doctrine of a demon, maybe even Satan himself, that distorts the nature of God the Father, distorts the person of Jesus Christ, and corrupts and changes the gospel of his salvation, the gospel of Christ. They are not Christians. They do not believe in the God of the Bible, and they do not believe in Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity. God still loves them. Don't argue with them theological stuff. Just keep it simple and share the truth of the gospel and reinforce the doubt. And just maybe some of them will come out of the darkness and into the light. And next time God brings two sinners to your door, Let him in. Let him in and talk to him. Just show him love. Pray to God to give you wisdom and keep it simple. Just share. Share the gospel. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for the assurance that we have in you. Lord, we thank you for your gospel, the truth of your word, all the evidence that we have that we can know your word is truly the words of God. Lord, I thank you for every person in here, Lord, that's called out on your name and put their faith in you and your work on the cross. Lord, we have been saved. We have been sealed with your Holy Spirit. We're not saved by our works, and we can't be unsaved by our mistakes. You said you'll never leave us nor forsake us. We are yours. We can hold on to that assurance. We can find rest in that peace. But Lord, sometimes that gets us to rest and get lazy. Help us not to be lazy, not to fall asleep in our faith, but to be ready. Always ready to give a reason for the hope that is in us. And Lord, when Mormons or anybody else from a false religion comes knocking on our doors, that's easy. We don't even have to go out and find them. They're coming to us. Help us to take that opportunity, Lord. Help us to take that opportunity to share the truth. Not because we're trying to earn your favor, but because we love you, because you first loved us. Lord, we pray for those in the Mormon religion. We pray that they'll soon hear the truth and come out of darkness and into the light. Be free from the burden of trying to be good enough. Again, Lord, we just thank you for this week, this holiday. We thank you for everything. Help us to live that way. Help us to live in a way that we see, people see our thankfulness and our love and our hope for you. We pray this in your name. Amen.